1, 2, 1, 2. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Am I just a little bit too loud? Okay, maybe it's just my head that's roaring. I am 60 now, you know. So. Yeah. Hey? Let me just a little bit loud. All right, I'm going to go in there. Give me just 1 second. I'm going to turn that down just a little bit because you know I'm going to get cranked up here in a minute. Maybe that will be a lot better. That'll give me some top room to move. Just a couple of announcements. Remember, we're going to have men's group out at Noel's house this coming Friday night, so keep that in mind. Also, John's going into respite, and Noel wants people to meet with him, some of the guys, to see if you can work out some kind of a team to help transport John back and forth. So please see Noel about that. Just to go and visiting. All right. Thank you for clarifying. I can't hear now because I'm 60, so I missed that. Nice to have Pete and June with us from Coffs Harbor. So he's the third guy here that's over 6'3", so he'd be easy to find too. So please make them welcome. Also, we talked in a leadership meeting the other day. We're going to have Wendy Davis's sister in sometime. She has a ministry, her and her husband, ministering on the ground in Indonesia. You know, Brian was telling us about some ministries going on in Christians in Muslim countries. So please keep that in mind. You'll hear more about it. But she has an awesome opportunity we'd like to be involved with. So just keep that in mind. All right, you ready to jump back into James? Ready or not, here we go. Over the last little while, we've been talking about James and some of the things he's told us is rather challenging. And I hope you have a handout today because there's a verse at the very bottom of that that I want you to do as homework this week. So don't lose that, all right? But anyway, some things that James has taught us that has been challenging. First, James says that if we go through hard times, we're supposed to rejoice or be joyful. Now, we don't come by that naturally. But he says, count it all joy when you go through tough times. Secondly, he said if we want wisdom, we can ask God and God will give it to us. But he also says if we don't believe God, don't count on anything from him. So you've just got to trust God. Thirdly, he said the poor man is supposed to rejoice in his situation and a rich man is supposed to rejoice if he has been brought low. Again, that's counter our thinking. But there's a reason for that. The poor man has a better opportunity of being a person of faith, where a rich man will trust his own goods. Then James tells us not to only be listeners of God's word, but doers of God's word. Anybody here guilty of hearing God's word and not applying it? Yeah, I think we're all guilty of that. So we're supposed to be doers of God's word. Number five, James said that we are not to show favoritism to anybody, and unfortunately, we do it all the time. We're not supposed to show favoritism. Then he says that if we say we have faith, we're supposed to have good works as well. Matter of fact, he said if you have faith and you don't have good works, your faith should be questioned. Because good works will flow from a person who has faith. And finally, we talked about last week that we're not supposed to praise God with our lips and curse men with our lips. And we all come in and we sing hymns and we praise God on Sunday morning. And then somebody cuts us off on the way home. And guess what we do? You were tested. Yes. Fort Macquarie can test your patience real quickly. But I can tell you the amount of times that I was tested this week. All right. Well, let's not talk about those. But, you know, we're all tested on these things, and it's challenging. It's challenging. That's me. I'm taking a lock, okay? I did all right. No, I did all right. But our subject today is also just as challenging. So let's look at James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. Know this, my loved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Everybody go ahead and say, oh me. I didn't hear very many amens about that one. Verse 19, we're going to look at each verse right here. Verse 19, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Have you ever just, at the snap of a finger, gone off on somebody? God forgive me for lying. You know, sometimes we, all right, so since I'm including myself, I can say this. Sometimes we open our mouth before we engage our Christian character. You thought I was going to say engage brain, didn't you? But sometimes we open our mouth before we engage our Christian character. Folks, our Christian character should be what motivates us, and we should respond based upon our Christian character. So, folks, when you open your mouth, make sure you do it to represent your Christian character. Yeah, well, here he goes. But often, you know, he says, let every person be quick to hear. Now, often, whenever we hear something, and I'm notoriously guilty about this. Somebody will start to say something and I begin to plan my response before they're finished telling me what they want to tell me. Any guilty people? That's exactly it. So the best thing to do is to be quick to hear, quick to listen. So the old adage, we got two ears and one mouth. You're supposed to listen twice as much. I think maybe four or five times as much. It's good to stop and listen and hear. And boy, am I guilty of that. And then he says this. Quick to hear, but slow to speak. Now, I don't think he's talking about this way of slow to speak. Actually, what I think he's doing is shut up long enough to engage your Christian character, let the Holy Spirit filter what you're about to say, and then maybe you'll have the opportunity to say it. Remember the old thing that we've heard before? If you get angry, count 10 seconds before you respond. Anybody ever do that? We'll talk more about that in just a few moments. But folks, we should be slow to speak. Slow to speak. Solomon had something to say about that. Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 and 28. He says, whoever restrains his words has knowledge. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. So we should be known as people that will restrain our words, because blurt something out very quickly suggests in a biblical way you don't have much knowledge and wisdom. So Christians should be known for responding in well thought out manners and not just bleh. But why do we just explode? Maybe you won't tell me. Why do we just go ahead and, why do we do that? We just go ahead and say it before we think. Now, I'm just going to let you, I'm just going to warn you, I'm setting you all up, all right? So, but there's a lot of reasons that we do respond the way that we do. But I like what he said, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. Could it be? And he said, when he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. All of us, I think, all right, let me just say this. How many really appreciate somebody who will always give you a well-thought-out, wise response? Yeah. You know, I really do appreciate that. And most of the time, those well-thought-out, wise responses are not full of rubbish, okay? We've got a gentleman and his wife is going to be coming from America. He was in our church over in America. His name is Alan Bird. And they're going to be here, what, 2-3 weeks, something like that? And they're going to be visiting with us for a few days. And Alan Bird is one of those people. I'll be honest with you. I cannot remember the first negative word that Alan has said. And you know why? Well, he doesn't say them. And he doesn't say much. He's slow, methodical, well thought out in everything that he says. You think, well, he's kind of slow. Well, he's a captain airline pilot too. He's the kind of person that you want flying your airplane. He doesn't make mistakes. Why? He thinks through what he's going to do. So folks, we should be people who think through. And I'll tell you what, I'm just going to confess, I'm really busting myself with this because I speak way too quickly. Anybody else? We've also got some people in this church that are like that too, well thought out. You know who they are. Now we're going to look at a part that's going to probably hit every single one of us. So grab your seatbelt. You ready? James says, slow to anger. Slow to anger. Do you know someone who is really quick to get cranked up? Okay. Anybody here guilty of that? Please don't raise your hand. Now, as you're thinking about that person, I want you to get that person who is in your mind that's really easy to get cranked up, and I want you to forget about them just a few moments. Matter of fact, I want you to forget about everybody else that you know of gets angry and push them aside for just a second because I want you to think about you, not them. Often when we hear a principle in the Bible, we say, boy, I need to tell such and such that way. Maybe my husband or my wife or mom or dad or grandfather or something like that. We just think of who needs to apply this, but it's not for them. It's for you and me. So are you ready to take that challenge? He says that we're not supposed to be slow to anger. In other words, Tony Sullivan, you're not supposed to be slow. I mean, you're supposed to be. I've got my words all messed up. Age. You're supposed to be slow to anger. All right, say that and add your name. Go ahead and tell yourself. Yeah. Are you arguing with yourself? There's even some people are telling themselves, you know, I don't have a problem with that. Are you sure? Yeah, ask God about it, okay? See what he said. We, all of us, are to restrain ourselves from getting angry quickly. No excuses from anyone. Again, now, who has a problem with that? Don't raise your hand. Well, how do you keep from getting angry so quickly? Well, do the first two things that James says. Listen, think, then respond. Isn't it amazing how the Bible works things out? You're quick to listen. You listen. You engage your Christian character. Then you respond. And that Christian character will bring that anger down. So you need to listen and respond that way. Now I'm going to go back to that old saying again. If you get angry before you say anything, think 10 seconds before you say anything. All right? Somebody would say, well, I would get very little said. Is that a bad thing? I mean, after all, Paul did say that let nothing except good or for words for the purpose of edification to come out of your mouth. And if you're about to say something that's not for the purpose of good or edification, then it's probably best you not say it anyway, right? Do you think we should be a lot quieter people? Folks, you know, I'll be honest with you. This has been kind of hitting me hard. Well, why? Why should I change? Why should I stop getting angry? Why? Well, James gives us the answer. Look over to verse number 20. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Let me just bring it down to Tony's terms. Your anger and my anger does nothing good for the righteousness of God. Nothing. Matter of fact, most of the time when we're angry, we're out on our own. So folks, James says don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah, now the Bible does say, and every time I mention something like this, somebody quotes this one, the Bible says to be angry and sin not. But honestly, most of us get angry because we've been jilted. It's a self-righteous anger, right? We have set ourselves up as the judge and jury and respond to judge and punish with our own words. So it is a self-righteous anger based upon our opinion and our personal desires, right? You see, Jesus did get angry twice that I can think of. First one, you remember? You know, he turned the tables over and he went in and he really was angry, I think. But what they were abusing the Father's house and they were making profits in the Father's house. They had it all wrong and he cleared them out. Secondly, he was coming up to the Pharisees and he knew the Pharisees' heart and their whole intent was dark and evil to bring destruction. They were acting like religious people when down deep inside they were totally evil. The Bible said in Mark 3 that he got angry with them. And that was righteous anger. But in our lives, folks, can we safely assume that 99% of the time, I wrote down 99.99%, but I'm just going to stop at 99% of the time, when we get angry, it's because of a little bit of a selfish motivation. Come on now. You reckon? Well, why do we get angry so often? Well, I personally think we have bought into our culture. Let me tell you why I think so. Road rage. We hear about it all the time. Abuse. Negative news. King hits. Fights and brawls. May I even mention the character of our parliamentarians in Parliament? How can you expect people not be bullies when our political leaders are all bullies in Parliament? But you see, it's an accepted thing in our culture. We've been sold a bill of goods. We've been told it's all about us. We deserve what we want. We should get all we can get, and nobody should ever question us or cross us, because if we cross us, we have the right to explode because they've crossed our rights. That's what our culture has told us. Well, isn't that the way it is? Listen to what James says in James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. What we see in our culture, folks, listen, what we see in our culture is a long way from meekness. Now remember, meekness is not weakness, it's strength under control. We can be strong. We can be strong people, but it must be under control. It has to be the parameters of our Christian character should control the strength that God has given us. James continues in James 3, verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above. Now, did you get this? Jealousy and selfish ambition? Basically, we can say selfish ambition is selfishness. He said, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Did he just say that selfishness is demonic? And if we have that personal, that selfish ambition and jealousy, verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Do we see that every day in our culture? Could it be that we've been sold a bill of goods that's wrong? I think so. For where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. I personally believe that's what's wrong in the Western world today. We have been told we're it, and when we find out we're not it, we get angry. Folks, there's another way to look at things. James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Instead of selfish ambition and jealousy, there's a better way. Listen to what James says. But the wisdom from above is first of all, pure. I want to stop there. Pure. What does pure mean? Undefiled, right before God. Untainted. It's something that would be God-honoring. The wisdom that's from above. It's pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. Do you see any selfishness in that? Let me read it again. Peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. While you're thinking about that, I'm going to read it one more time, all right? But the wisdom from above, or from God, is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Pure, peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield, merciful, doing good things, never showing favoritism, and always sincere. Do you know anybody that can live that way? Come on, give me his name. Jesus. This is a perfect picture of him. When he was reviled, he did not respond. When he was spit upon, he didn't respond. When people abused him, he didn't even respond. Are we supposed to be Christ-like? Are we supposed to never return evil for evil? Are we supposed to pray for those who despitefully use us and do good to those who abuse us? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Do you see how that will change us away from following the direction of our culture to following Christian character? This is what James is wanting us to do. And if we do these things, James says, I'll read it again, verse 18, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. How many wants that in your life? Peace and righteousness. Say that with me. Peace, righteousness. Do you want peace and righteousness in your life? James just told us how to act to get it. I mean, talk about a self-help. He just gave it to us right there. But you know what? A lot of people, there's a small voice in the back of their mind saying, I'll never be that good. Aren't you saying that to yourself? I can never reach that. Yes, you can. Remember our promise last week? For I can do all, say it with me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Say it again. I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. Yes, we can. Because Jesus himself will give us the strength to do what's right. But you gotta stop, listen, engage your Christian character, then respond if he says you can. But sometimes it's best to, what does the movie says? Take a lock. Yeah, zip. Well, no, you got to use it sometimes. So, folks, James is fairly specific on this. So what I would like for you to do, ready for your homework? On the bottom of your page there, you've got James chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. I want you to take that home. I want you to read it over and over. And go ahead and get with me over and over. And I want you to tear it apart. I want you to put it together. I want you to put your name into it. I want you to let that passage of scripture affect your life. Basically, I want us to do what James says, not only be listeners of the word of God, but doers of the word of God. Let this, just a few verses, memorize it if you can. If you can't, just keep reading it. Let this passage of scripture permeate your life. Deal? And if we will do this, we'll reap peace and righteousness. That's what James said. So there you go. Now, Lord willing, next week. I don't know, he may change my mind, but right now, next week, what I want to do is go over and look at some of Paul's writings where he dealt very similarly with our attitudes when he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, patience. And one of the biggest ones, folks, self-control. But don't worry about it till next week, okay? But just take those verses and read them and let them affect your life. Matter of fact, as you read it, lift your eyes to the Lord and tell Him, would you help me take this as my goal? And then He'll say, I've already promised that to you when Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. So let's do that way, okay? Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you that James can be so clear in his writing. Not only did he point out the negatives and how we do respond, but he gave us the way we're supposed to respond. And he's very clear on both sides. So, Father, help us to take this seriously. I, for one, Lord, need your help. I am way too quick to respond or to react. I need to stop and listen. I need to hear. I need to be very slow to speak and never to anger when it's selfishly motivated. So help us to apply these principles in our life, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. And to our greatest example, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Have a great week and read your verses.